Good morning, colleagues and friends. Greetings from Lyon. At the outset, I would like to thank Dr. Georges Ojeda and the organizers for the kind invitation. Kindly bear with me for my inability to be present with you in person due to other competing engagements, but technology allows you to interact with you for a short time, and I'm very grateful for my colleagues to have made this possibility. So what I would like to do in the next 20-25 minutes or so is to deliberate on suitable strategies for cervical screening in low and medium resource countries in the light of the new research findings coming from settings in Africa and Latin America. So we will deliberate, and as you all appreciate, cervical cancer is an important problem in several parts of the developing world. And it will be really interesting to review through what has happened in the last few years to make some sense out of it. So what is the optimum screening method for cervical cancer in developing countries? This has to be deliberated in the context of what type of target population that you want to screen with, what type of screening test that one would choose, and quite often most of the discussions about screening starts with the screening test and ends with the screening test. Screening test is only one component of a screening program. There are so many other important components. Unless these are satisfied, a screening program. What's the frequency of screening that people really look forward to provide? Is it once in 5 years, once in 10 years, or is it once in a lifetime? What type of triage diagnosis people want to provide or people can provide? What's the feasibility? Is there a feasibility to provide a triaging investigation at all? And what are the facilities for treatment and follow-up care? And then finally, one should know, you know, what is happening with the program, the information systems, so that you have a possibility of evaluating what has been the program input and outcomes. And then there should be a measure to provide quality assurance of what we do within the program so that the program makes an impact. And all these aspirations, beginning from the target population definition to quality assurance, you know, what we can do has to be matched with resources. You cannot think of an extremely high quality, high class program, you know, which can be repeated every 3 years for a setting, you know, where the average annual healthcare expenditure by the governments are less than $10 per capita. So one has to always aspire for what one can do best within their own setting. So I would like to say the aspirations have to be matched with resources. We can define different target populations. You know, target populations of women between 30 and 59 years, 33 and 64 years, 35 and 49 years, and 30 and 49 years. I would say in most settings, if you take Latin America or Sub-Saharan Africa, a target population between 30 and 59 years is quite useful. And if resources are extremely limited, one may even think of screening women between 35 to 49 years to begin with, and then later expand the target population to 30 and 59 years as resources become available. Then what type of screening one can use? Fortunately, we have an array of screening tests for cervix cancer. The time-tested pap smear, the advancement of the pap smear, which is liquid-based cytology. And pap smear has worked very well in many developed countries in a setting where, which is frequently repeated, and there is quality assurance and there is good linkage with treatment. But providing a good quality pap smear in most low and medium resource countries is really challenging. There have to be several elements in place to ensure a good quality pap smear. Liquid-based cytology is technology intensive and resource intensive, expensive. It can make the reading of the cytological smears much more easier. But whether it really adds to a conventional pap smear is questionable. Then the second approach is based on HPV DNA testing. We know the cervix cancers are caused by one of the 15 oncogenic types of HPV. So testing for HPV DNA, again, technology intensive, but it is an objective. It is not a reader dependent test. It is an objective test. It is highly reproducible. And then you have our poor cousins with visual inspection, using 3 to 5% acetic acid or Lugol-Zidin, visual inspection with acetic acid, VIA or VILI. Then this test can be used either as a single screening test in or in combination as a parallel screening test, but generally we wouldn't advise combination of screening tests because that can enormously increase the cost. And then the work over the last few years have given us excellent indicators on the performance of the different tests. And one would say that HPV DNA testing is sensitive, the sensitivity ranging between, say, 70 to 90%, and with moderate specificity around 85 to 90%. Whereas that the sensitivity of conventional cytology and visual screening tests are almost similar, around, say, 55 to 70%. Although visual inspection tests have very low specificity between, say, 60 and 70%. But whatever test one uses, if they can use properly, the test can perform. So if you decide to implement a particular screening test, then one should put sufficient resources to implement it adequately. Then the frequency of screening. Most developed countries were, you know, screening either once in a year or once in 3 years. But many countries are now switching over to once in 5 years. But in low and medium resource settings, a minimum expectation is to provide at least screen for women between 30 and 59 years. And once sufficient resources permit, sufficient coverage has been achieved, people may think of once in 5 years or once in 7 years. But the most important thing is the link between screening, diagnosis and treatment. Unless this link is achieved, screening will not work. There is no point in screening people if you do not diagnose screen-positive women and if you do not treat women with disease. And in many countries like sub-Saharan Africa, it may not be feasible for many years to come to provide a diagnostic triage investigation like colposcopy and biopsy, because the resources do not simply exist within the health services. Until the time that such resources can be inbuilt for diagnosis and triage of screen-positive women, one may even think of treating women who are screen-positive and we have no clinical evidence of cancer with one of those methods like cryotherapy or cold coagulation without histological confirmation or without a colposcopic triage. So coming to triage and diagnosis, as I already dealt with screen and treat in a single visit approach without any one of these diagnostic triage investigations. And when resources permit, one can have colposcopy and directed biopsies to diagnose the nature of the lesions in screen-positive women. Of course, such a triage and diagnostic approach will involve multiple visits. And with multiple visits, particularly in low-resource settings, one can lose women for follow-up. And how you provide treatment? Again, treatment can be provided in a single-visit approach within a screen-and-treat context. Or multiple visits with diagnostic triage inbuilt. And the treatments, there are ablative treatments like cryotherapy and cold coagulation, laser vaporization, etc. And there are excision treatments which involve loop electrosurgical excision procedure, cold knife conization. And among the ablative treatment, cryotherapy is the workhorse in many countries. And in my view, about 60 to 70% of the lesions diagnosed in screening programs could be managed with an ablative treatment like cryotherapy or cold coagulation. Cold coagulation is more feasible in countries because you need not, purchase a consumable like the refrigerant gas, like nitrous oxide or carbon dioxide, which is required for cryotherapy. Among the excision treatments, LEAP is the workhorse, and most of the lesions which are not suitable for an ablative treatment with cryotherapy or cold coagulation could be adequately managed with a single-pass LEAP procedure. And deep-seated lesions and larger lesions can be managed adequately with multiple cut LEAP procedure. And the safety, acceptability, and effectiveness of treatments in field settings by doctors, nurses, and health workers have been amply proven in different settings, and there is quite a large evidence base available for the safety, acceptability, and the efficacy of such treatment methods. Then once treatment is provided, what can one do to assess cure? At least a single follow-up procedure, 6 months to 1 year from the diagnosis and treatment, is essential. In advanced healthcare settings, of course, repeated visits can be possible. And again, as I said already, quality assurance for all screening steps are essential. And what type of quality assurance one can provide will depend upon the resources which is available. Then once the programs are ongoing, one should monitor and evaluate the program with a set of process measures and outcome measures. The process measures in terms of what proportion of the target population participate in screening, diagnosis and treatment. What is the screen positivity rate? What are the detection rates of precancerous lesions? And what's the compliance with the diagnosis and treatment? And then outcome measures in terms of cervical cancer incidence and mortality rates, and what's the quality of life. And more than any other cancer, I think cervix cancer has been shown to be highly feasible for screening, and one can evaluate the programs with the proper information systems, and one can provide very useful indicators for process and outcome measures to evaluate the outcomes of program. Now we will look into some of the programmatic aspects coming from developing countries. First, let us talk about the screen and treat approach without a diagnostic triage using colposcopy and biopsy. In Thailand, more than 20 provinces are now implementing a screen and treat program based on VIA and cryotherapy. And this is based on the initial ACCP study, which evaluated the acceptability and safety and the feasibility of a single visit approach, which showed in a cross-sectional study that most women detected with a VIA positive lesion were willing for immediate treatment with cryotherapy without diagnostic triage, and most of them accepted it without hesitation, and it was a safe procedure, and in follow-up the efficacy of such a procedure was also established in terms of lesions and screen positivity on follow-up visits. At the moment, there are several countries which are implementing a single visit VIA screen and treat program using cryotherapy. So in Africa, there are demonstration programs in countries like Angola, Congo, Brazzaville, Ghana, Guinea, Madagascar, Malawi, Mali, Tanzania, and places like that. And in Latin America, in Central America, some of the countries like Guatemala and Nicaragua have VIA screen and treat programs. And at the moment in Thailand, there is a large national program in place with a single visit approach. The latest information, there are 20 provinces which are implementing this. There are more than 500 providers, 36 supervisors. And then more than 1 million women have been now screened with such an approach. And it will be interesting to see what type of reduction in incidence and mortality from cervical cancer in those provinces which are using an extensive screen and treat program. And from a research perspective, there is a landmark study from Cape Town in South Africa, conducted by Dr. Lindeney and colleagues, a randomized trial which compared two screen and treat approaches with a delayed evaluation group. The study involved 6,000 women. 2,000 women were received among 2,000 women based on HPV screening results. Women were provided cryotherapy. Among 2,200 women, based on a positive VIA screen, cryotherapy was immediately provided. And among 2,000 women in a delayed evaluation control group, nothing was done immediately after the screening test. But all the 6,000 women were called back at 6 months, and then a subsample of them during the subsequent period. And they were all evaluated with colposcopy and diagnostic investigations. And the number of precancerous lesions in each group was counted. As you see here, the results are for 36 months, which were recently published. The cumulative frequency of CAN2 and 3 lesions in the HPV screen and treat group was 1.5%. It was 3.8% in the VIA screen and treat group, and it was 5.6% in the delayed evaluation group. So what does it imply? It implies that there was almost like a 75% protection in the HPV screen and treat group, and a 32% protection against precancerous lesions in the VIA screen and treat group as compared to the delayed evaluation control group. So this indicates HPV screening probably identifies women with precancerous lesions more accurately, and subjecting them for an immediate treatment results in considerably lesser prevalence of precancerous lesions in the HPV screen and treat group. And among HIV positive women in the same study, in the HPV screen and treat group, there was an 80% reduction in the prevalence of precancerous lesions as compared to 50% reduction in the prevalence of such lesions in VIA screen and treat group. So what does it show? It shows probably HPV testing is a more accurate and more effective approach for screening for precancerous lesions in developing countries. But our poor cousin VIA, if properly done, also provides some level of protection. And of course, the investments for HPV screening and VIA screening are vastly different. Now, a second important randomized trial from southern India, which evaluated cervical cancer incidence and mortality following a single round of screening with visual inspection with acetic acid as compared to a no-screen control group. There was something like a 25% reduction in incidence and 35% reduction in cervical cancer mortality in the group receiving a single round of VIS screening in this study. A third important randomized trial in central India, in collaboration with the Tata Memorial Center and the Nargisthe Memorial Cancer Hospital, done by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. This is a large randomized trial which involved around 130,000 women who were randomized to four groups, approximately 34,000 women in each group. So in the first group of 34,000 women, women received HPV testing with hybrid capture 2, and women who are positive on the hybrid capture 2 test were diagnosed and treated. There was colposcopic triage in this study, and biopsies were directed, and women suspected with high-grade precancerous lesions received immediate treatment. The second group of 32,000 women, a quality assured cervical cytology was provided. And women who had ascus or higher lesions on cytology were diagnosed and treated. And the third group of 34,000 women, visual inspection with acetic acid was provided by health workers. And VIA positive women received colposcopy and treatment. And then there was 32,000 women in the control group who received the usual existing care, which is no screening but health education on cervical cancer screening. So a single round of interventions, either with HPV screening or with cytology screening or with VIA screening as compared to no screening. 8 years from the beginning of the study, these groups were, of course, followed for cervical cancer incidence and mortality very carefully with population-based cancer registration, mortality registration, active follow-up, etc. And at the end of 8 years from the beginning of screening, there was a 52% reduction in the incidence of advanced cervical cancer in the group which was invited to receive HPV screening. The incidence reductions in the cytology and VIA groups did not receive statistical significance. And there was something like a 52% reduction in mortality from cervical cancer in the group which received HPV screening. With the mortality reductions in the cytology and VIA groups not reaching statistical significance. So, putting the evidence from the South African study at the level of precancerous lesions, which showed 80% reduction in the prevalence of high-grade lesions following HPV screening, and an independent Indian study shows a 50% reduction in mortality from cervical cancer in the group which received HPV screening. And so both the evidences are consistent, and which shows HPV testing is probably a superior methodology to screen for cervical cancer, a more objective and highly reproducible methodology. And the evidence is further strengthened by the high negative predictive value of HPV screening. Among 24,000 HPV negative women in the Central Indian study, 8 women developed cervical cancer, whereas 22 women among the 24,000 cytology negative women developed cervical cancer, and 25 women among the 23,000 VAA negative women developed cervical cancer. So again, which shows a very high negative predictive value for even a single HPV negative screen. Okay, very good. HPV testing is a suitable method. It's a highly effective method for screening. But the problem is the technology is cumbersome, expensive. So the current technology cannot be readily implemented in many developing countries. So in recent years, thanks to again support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, there has been an effort to develop an affordable HPV test, and such a HPV test has been now developed, CARE HPV test, which we hope will be commercialized soon. And early validation studies in China showed the performance of the CARE HPV was exactly similar to that of Hybrid Capture 2 in terms of test positivity, in terms of accuracy to detect high-grade precancerous lesions. So at the moment, we have the possibility of an affordable, rapid, accurate HPV test available, which can be readily used in low-resource settings in a point-of-care platform to screen for cervical cancer. So all these new findings have resulted in new algorithms for cervical cancer screening. So there is an excellent possibility to use HPV testing as a primary screening test, followed by pap smear or liquid-based cytology triage in medium and high-resource countries, whereas in low-resource countries, HPV testing followed by VAA and VILI can be used for triaging and treating HPV-positive women with immediate cryotherapy. So in all these algorithms, the emerging algorithms for future, HPV testing is the central screening method. And the new availability of new testing platforms such as the CARE HPV test will further accelerate the possibility of the affordability of HPV testing in low-resource settings. And we are aware that now vaccination is emerging as another important strategy for controlling, preventing cervical cancer. So in future, when HPV vaccination becomes more prevalent, because of reduced cost and availability of new vaccines and new developments and things like that, one will anticipate a scenario where the prevalence of the low-grade lesions will be much lower. And in such a scenario, where there is a high penetration by HPV vaccination and there is low prevalence of precancerous lesions, the current subjective tests like cytology will have a much lower performance, and in such a scenario, HPV testing will be the most ideal screening methodology. And again, you cannot have the current repeated screening algorithms for screening in such a scenario because one has to balance with the cost. So one of the approaches by which developing countries can think of combining vaccination and screening may be such a philosophy, like vaccinating girls aged between 10 and 12 years and provide a single HPV screen at ages 30 and 35. This could be one of the cost-effective ways of combining both screening as well as HPV vaccination in future for developing countries. So in summary, we have several possibilities now. We can use, in places where you cannot do anything else, one can think of using visual screening with acetic acid or Lugol's iodine, and then treat VAA or VILI positive women with immediate cryotherapy or cold coagulation. In places where they can afford a fast CARE HPV test in the near future, one can think of establishing several point-of-care test platforms where women can be screened with CARE HPV, and then women positive on HPV can be either triaged with colposcopy or cytology or with VAA or VILI, and then immediate treatment can be provided. So there are several exciting possibilities, and it is only the willingness and allocation of resources which are very critical in further extending cervical cancer screening services across developing countries. Thank you for your kind attention.